This is a replay of the Wednesday night, May 10th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together, and you can interrupt this show as the mood strikes you, and I hope that it will. 888-876-5593. It was 8888-Raleigh. All right, a number of things to discuss, but as I was saying just before the news, there is a software company that you go to work there, about 40 people do, and you sit in front of your screen and you do whatever it is you do for the 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And at the end of your shift, you get warning, your shift is over, the office system will shut down in 10 minutes, please go home. And in fact, it does. It's timed for the time the employee starts and the time they decide the employee will stop. And actually, of course, workers love it. What a great excuse, right? I would think so. But the science behind it is, science, I use the word very loosely. The evidence behind it, even that I use loosely, is that study after study, really since the pandemic, is that individuals who are overworking are subject to all sorts of maladies. In fact, there was one WHO study in 2021 that showed people working over 55 hours a week had a 35% higher risk of stroke, 17% higher risk of dying from heart disease. And you see this in study after study. The results don't necessarily corroborate. And at this point, I would say it's little more than anecdotal. But from all the evidence, it does seem like too much work does not make for a better life, apart from all the social things that we would know. Well, so now we've got companies, including this one, that are pretty much saying it's more than 40 hours, go home. And this came up because one of the workers of this particular Indian software company put it online, including a screenshot of what was on in front of her. But when interviewed, she said, no more calls and mails outside of business hours. Isn't this fantastic? Yeah, hopefully it is all the way around. Hopefully they're working in shifts, though. So if you, the hapless consumer, are calling after shifts are over that somebody's shift has just started, 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And Leah is in Marcus Hook. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
Oh, I fell again.
What? How? I shouldn't laugh, because, of course, it isn't funny, though. I'm sure if you had a video of it, it'd be hilarious. So tell us what happened.
I tripped going up the stairs.
Oh, God, I hate it.
We have two steps.
Oh, just two.
Going from the kitchen to the hallway.
Yeah. Yeah, I just hate steps. I hate it
and
when
I
you fall upstairs.
Going up one of them.
And so tell me about the extent of the injuries.
Oh, God. I caught myself with my right hand.
Uh-huh.
It's like an injury when you catch yourself in a car, you know, and you put your hands out.
Yeah.
And so it got I tore up my clavicle and my right shoulder.
Oh.
And my knee, of course, got injured again.
Oh.
My right knee. so I was zonked out on painkillers last night, but I heard the show.
Oh, good.
I listened. So I stayed in the bedroom with Albert, and I just had it on real low so he wouldn't wake up. But I listened, and it was a good show.
Well, good. Good. Glad you liked it, but sorry that you were down for the count. Now, of course, the day afterwards, usually you feel much worse, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, good luck in feeling better tomorrow.
Definitely listing.
Yeah, exactly.
One side.
Exactly.
But I have this question for you. I got this thing from the state of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I guess it's sponsored by the NIH, National Institute of Health, and it's called All of Us Pennsylvania, and they want me to take a DNA test.
Well, and my easy answer to any DNA test is always, not on your life. I would never allow myself to be put in those databases. You know, the ones that law enforcement uses.
But I don't think it's law enforcement.
Oh, no, it isn't. But you know, it's just like people who think HIPAA really protects their privacy. If you read the exceptions, basically any government entity on a whim can see all your medical information.
But they get so bent out of shape at the doctors if you don't sign it. They get all
if you don't want to sign it, it doesn't matter if you do or not, because you're not signing that you approve of it. You're only signing that you recognize that you are aware of
that
it.
That I read it.
Yes.
So
what I always put underneath it, I don't mind signing it, but in case they are audited, and the reason that they're bent out of shape is if they're audited and they don't have this on file, that's terrific fines for them. It's not pretty. It's terrible. So what they can do for people who refuse to sign is that an employee signs under it and puts patient declined to sign. And while I did that for a year, now I just under my signature put HIPAA is a joke. It doesn't protect my privacy. It allows the government to invade it. And that way, if it's ever audited, that'll show up. The chances of that are 1 in a trillion, probably. You know, winning the lottery is probably more likely, but it makes me feel a little better, so I do it. But in any, HIPAA is a joke, sadly. Makes it harder for your relatives and people you really might want to have the information to ever get it, but it makes it very easy for authorities.
So if I just signed it and then put HIPAA is a joke?
If you want to. And explain why you say that. You know, it invades my privacy. It doesn't protect it. Or whatever you want. Now, again, the likelihood that anybody will be auditing this is nil. So you're really just doing it as an exercise in making you feel better rather than anything actually happening. But that said, the bottom line to databases is they are almost always abused because the exceptions are just voluminous. And most of the stuff you hear about law enforcement successfully using databases are private databases. They're a private company that want to entice you, whether they want you to find your long-lost relatives or what have you. The only time I would ever consider a DNA test would be if I knew I had a medical condition that really warranted knowing this information, and I did it under a completely assumed identity.
Well, see, that's the thing. I wanted to do it for medical reasons. That's why I'm doing it.
No, you don't want to do it for medical reasons on just a broad stroke deal. If you have some particular medical issue that you're saying, I truly believe genetic testing will get to the bottom of this, and you look at it, and by the way, that's very few and far between, trust me. It's not the panacea, like, oh, I'll do all this and I'll know exactly what's wrong with me and why. It's not like that. It's not. But again, if you come across a really debilitating illness and you find out that genetic testing can be helpful in treatment, again, you do it privately under an assumed name, not under a date. And this is just my advice. Anybody do whatever you want. This is just
advice.
Right? And this, I'm just a talk show host. Talk show hosts are nothing more than disc jockeys who don't play enough records. All right.
You're the smartest person I know.
Well, yeah, but even so, I'm in no sense an authority, and I'm not meaning to give advice. I'm just telling you what I would do. And if it came to it, that's the way I'd handle it. But for the most part, I don't want to know, and I don't have any reason to know.
Okay.
You know, again, if I come across something that looks like the treatment for it is going to be life-threatening, and I say, you know, if I had genetic information, I could make a better decision, then I do it privately, anonymously. But
And it's not like the 23andMe thing where I can find out if I have a brother.
Do you want? You can find out if you have a brother at the cost of you being in that database. I don't want to know. Like a woman came out of the woodwork many years ago claiming to be my biological mother. Maybe she was, but I wasn't going to take a DNA test. I don't care.
Oh, okay.
Somebody else might have, but that wasn't me. And you know, John is interesting. His family lineage, he's a Cornell, as in the university. And so so he's had relatives who've called him, "Oh, we need the paternal line. Would you please do?" And he's like, "No, I don't care. There's no way." So, you know, there are some people who are hung up on that. We don't care where we come from.
Okay.
And we know enough people already. I don't want to meet new relatives. I didn't like the old ones.
Never know.
That's right. I didn't like the old ones. Never mind. So, I have no idea who my biological family might be, and that's perfectly fine. If I have a near-death experience, maybe I will ask. If I go to the other side and come back, I'll let you know. Of course, if I go to the other side and don't come back, I probably will know.
Right. There you go.
That's soon enough.
That's a good attitude to have.
Well, you know, I mean, the old you choose your friends, not your relatives. The quality of your life is definitely determined by the people you surround yourself with, but you have absolute choice on who those people are.
I guess if I had a brother and he wanted to find me, he would, right?
Well, no, he wouldn't if you're not in any database and you don't want him to.
Oh.
I mean, if you're saying, I really have a Jones where I want to know in case one of my parents was slipping around and I might have a brother there somewhere, I want to know. All right, you can put yourself in a database. Understand the downfall of it is that information is essentially public, no matter what they say.
Okay.
You know, and for me, you know, and I always say, you're living in the mall of life. You can have anything you want, but it's got a price tag, and rarely is the price tag financial. Well, the price tag of knowing if you have a brother or not is putting your DNA in a public database, and don't kid yourself about it being public.
Yeah, because someday the government might use it against you.
Absolutely.
I'm watching The Small Light now, the miniseries, The Small Light, about Meep, the woman who helped... the Frank family hide during the war.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and well, it's from her perspective, and it's like that could happen again, but it could be Greek people, you know? They should outlaw
It may not even be at this point anything that is going to be about your ethnic background. It could be something like anybody with this gene, or we need to remove these people from society because they're more likely to fill in the blank. You know, but even if you don't get to that point, we don't need to get quite that draconian to be scared witless. Just think about it this way. Look at how many people were impelled to get vaccinated in the last 3 years, many of them completely against their will. Well, what if at some point the government decides that, people who have this gene combination need to have this therapy. Well,
yeah.
Why would you want to hand them that?
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
And so, you know, there's always a downside. The downside is that, yes, you may miss information that might be somewhat helpful. But to me, again, when I'm going shopping in the Mall of Life, that price is way too big for those results.
Yeah. Yeah, well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And yeah, some good points.
When the government decides, they're saying, we're the government. We'd like you to be in our database. What, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, bad enough you've got a Social Security number.
Yeah, I know. And they always ask for it, and I did not give it to them.
Well, you know,
I went to the doctor because they don't take insurance. I wrote on there, you're not taking insurance. It's unnecessary.
Well, it's always unnecessary. But, you know, what's interesting, of course, when Social Security was being decided during the Depression, the big force against it did not want a national identification number, and that's what they used as the logic for why we shouldn't have this. Well, ultimately it passed, but if you remember in the old Social Security cards, the red, white, and blue ones, it said on them,
This is not an identification card.
Not for identification purposes. Well, of course, it now is absolutely for identification purposes.
They use it as ID.
But you do not. Unfortunately, government entities, with a 50-state driver's compact, if you have a driver's license, they got your Social Security number. And if you wonder how easy it is to get that information, just file for anything where there's going to be a challenge to prove who you are. You know, where they ask the questions, did you ever live in, and they list six counties, or, you know, did you ever have, and they list five cars. Well, one of the questions that's usually on there is, your Social Security number was obtained in which state? And it lists six states. Well, if they know which state, they got your number.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And also, the other thing is, whenever I go to a doctor now, they ask for my driver's license.
Yeah,
they
didn't
do that before.
Yes.
And I say I don't have a driver's license, and they look at me like I'm from Mars. They look at me like I have three heads.
Well, get a passport. Get a passport and a passport card. You can carry
that in your wallet. Well, I give them my medical marijuana card.
As long as it has a picture of you on it.
Yeah, it has a picture.
Well, then that's perfectly fine. But
driver's license picture.
Well, but that medical marijuana card actually is tied to your driver's license, number. That leads back to all the information.
Right.
So that's fine. So, that's fine.
But, I mean, you should see how they look at me when I say I don't have a driver's license.
Well, the expectation is, if you don't have a driver's license, that you have a state-issued government ID. But I would strongly suggest, and I understand if you have a passport, that database is out there too, of course. But for the most part, most software isn't set up to, in fact, detangle that passport card number. So, and you can pick your own picture, which is always nice. So you don't have to have DMV. Yeah, no, you can pick your own picture. So
I pick no picture.
Yeah, well, no, you have to have one there. But you know, you can.
Can I have one from the 70s or?
Well, probably could, actually. I don't suggest it. You're the one picking it. You're sending it in with the application.
You don't have to go in person?
No. That's what I'm saying. You provide your picture, but you can't doctor it, and there's other things you can't do. And you really want it to be you and a likeness of you, because it might be used biometrically at some point. But at least you can pick a nice one.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I didn't know that. I've never had a passport.
Well, I can't imagine not.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
So go get a passport.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I think they're all processed in Pittsburgh anyway, so don't worry about it.
All right. Thanks for the advice.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, good deal. So you won't be finding your brother, but they won't be finding out about your mutant gene.
That's right.
All right. Leah.
No metahumans here.
There. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
All right. And of course, again, this is not official advice. Do whatever you feel is best. I'm just sharing how I would handle it. 888-876-5593. One thing I think we are in accord on is, if you're listening to the show, you're a radio lover, and you probably know about the Sea Crane Company, but if not, you should. Bob Crane started out many years ago when he was just aghast at the state of radio reception in most contemporary radios. And he thought, I'm going to build something that has the reception that we used to love in the 50s and 60s. And he started to do that. And now there are many, many, many models. And all of them, the hallmark is, all of them have excellent reception, AM and FM, but they all have different features too that are really neat. And the CC Skywave is a wonderful choice. It is a great way to be prepared for the occasional extreme weather output or whatever. It sounds an alarm when NOAA issues an alert, and of course there's a NOAA weather band. But more than that, if you're really talking about emergencies, it's got shortwave, and so, you know, like the 2-meter ham band, things like that. Bottom line is, when the emergency is really happening, the first responders are right there long before you're hearing about it anywhere else. Not only that, but the CC Skywave also has the aviation band. So if you like listening to air traffic controllers or pilots, you get to do that too, which can be very interesting and sometimes a lot of fun. So I want you to look at the CC Skywave. Great AM, great FM, and neat features that make it an excellent pocket travel radio. And it runs up to 70 hours on 2 AA batteries, so it's great. Go to ccradio.com, look at the CC Skywave anytime, or give them a call. Yeah, they got real customer service 24 hours a day with people really from the Sea Crane Company answering the phone at 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. Now, if you're saying, I got to have it tonight, I got to have it tomorrow, well, Amazon, you know, or REI or Buy Mart, something like that. But if you want the real deal experience, take a look at the Sea Crane catalog and all the great information, as well as great radios, and check out the CC Skywave while you're at it. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
as she found someone new.
I'm Raleigh James, 1963 on Co-Ed, Joey Van and the Duprees, Have You Heard? We're going to talk to JT and Aurora in a minute. He requested that and happy to play it. I'll always remember the first time I heard it, and it was fall of 63, and it was one of those community concert kind of venues, and there were several rock and roll acts, most of whom I don't remember, but the one that was on just before the Duprees I remember so well because it was Candy and the Kisses, but it wasn't, all right? Because Candy and the Kisses were two sisters, and there were three girls in the group, and they were from Philadelphia and all. Well, on the touring group, Candy was a guy, all right? So Candy and the Kisses, of course, did the 81, which was their hit. And so at this point, here come the Duprees, and of course, you know, I certainly knew You Belong to Me and all that, and I'm ready for anything after Candy and the Kisses, and Joey Van gets up there and they do Have You Heard, and literally my heart stopped. And there were a couple reasons. One, it was just gorgeous, but two, my biggest pet peeve in concerts is that it doesn't sound exactly like the 45. And that's just me. I know some people like the concert experience. I want it to sound exactly like the produced 45. And there are very few people who can do that. Most notably, Gene Pitt and the Jive 5. He was unbelievable. But Joey Van did Have You Heard, and I was like, I couldn't talk, literally couldn't talk. And you know, I liked the Joni James version, of course, from 10 years earlier, but this was just terrific. So JT wanted to hear it, and now he has. So JT, there you go. You say it, I play it. Thanks for calling. Hey, JT. Okay, well, JT heard his record and apparently decided to hang up. Well, JT. All right, I guess he just wanted his request and he got it. 888-876-5593. I prefer you talk on the show because the more you talk, the less I do, and that makes it a happier experience for everybody. Well, for me anyway. We've got Bonnie in Butternut, Wisconsin. Bonnie, welcome back to WGN. How's the family?
We're good. Thank you.
Okay, good.
Lake is on and spring is approaching, so we're good to go right now.
Excellent.
Last night, you mentioned something, you said, to get your app. Do you mean the regular
No, absolutely not. I'll tell you, as far as apps go, you know, my problem is with technology is I get interested in something, I figure out how to do it, and then I never do it again. And in 2012, I said to John, we're going to make apps. And he's like, oh, God, here it comes. And so we learned how to make Android apps, which were a little convoluted, but all the security stuff was just a breeze. And we got it, you know, online and all that. And then now we're going to make iTunes apps, iOS apps. Well, firstly, they were much easier to make, but the security on it was just a bitch. It took us 2 months to figure out how to mate everything, get it paired and all that. But we finally did, and we got it up there, and it was all working and all that. And I said, okay, we know how to do that. Let's never do it again. You can always go to Raleigh.net or RaleighStream.net, either way. But if you go to Raleigh.net, you can click on Downloads. And when you click on Downloads, you can download any show you've heard at any time, because I rarely pull them off. I should. And the interviews are up there separately. So it's a do-it-yourself deal. But there will probably never be another phone app, because I learned how to do that, and why do it again?
Yes. What you just said about downloads and going to... I listen to you.
Yeah. Yep, that's the easiest way.
Yes. The reason why my ears kind of perked up last night, because I thought there was something new that I was missing.
No.
The reason being is because a few months back, for some reason or another, I no longer could go on to the WGN radio app on my iPhone and listen to all the WGN programs during the day or Saturdays, whenever. And all of a sudden, it no longer worked. And I called them on two occasions to different, while they were on the air, but would only talk to their producers or whoever was behind, not behind them, whoever was not behind, not behind the mic. And they said, well, you got to download the new app. Well, I would, you know, get rid of the old app, put the new one on, and with the same app. There was no difference. So the only reason, only way I can currently listen to WGN through my iPhone is through Simple Radio.
Right, an aggregator. But if you go to WGNradio.com, you can listen to the stream that way as well. There's a pre-roll commercial on it, but there probably is on all their stuff.
But I evidently, maybe my carrier or my cell phone, my internet that I have up here just doesn't work.
Because you can do that on Raleigh.net. What it probably is that when you downloaded the new version, you probably didn't delete all the remnants of the old one. And so you've got some conflicts there. And that's usually what does it.
So I got to clear out all that.
Yeah, if you can. If you can. And, you know, iOS is not my favorite operating system to work with.
Like my husband right now, but that's beside the point.
All right, but yeah, if you clear it out completely and you know you've, as much as possible, gotten rid of everything, then you download it fresh. Don't install it on top of it. Download it fresh.
Okay, and I will do that.
That may work.
I have no problem, you know, going on your site and streaming from there or downloading the programs, because sometimes I miss you, so then I go back and I listen to Monday night on Sunday night or et cetera.
Mine is simple, stupid, because I do not in any way try to monetize anything. So it's just very straightforward, and nothing's behind passwords or anything. Anybody wants to go there, they go there. You know, if it ever gets to a point where I see that my bandwidth is just being eaten alive, I'll do something. But for right now, whoever wants to hear it, hey, enjoy yourself. Knock yourself out. It's easy to do.
Yeah, we're trying that way.
Yeah.
Does Leah spell her name L-E-A-H?
Oh, Leah? Well, we spell it L-I-A.
Okay.
I don't know if she does, but that's what we've always written.
I only ask because I always, my daughter is Leah, L-E-A-A, and so.
Very nice. Very nice.
Just wondered if that was how it is.
Well, it may be. I'll have to ask her sometime, but I always use L-I-A because it's only three letters.
Well, yeah. Everybody, of course, thinks that my daughter was named because of Star Wars, because of Princess Leia. But no, she's not named for that.
Well, see, I would have said, is it the Roy Orbison song?
No, actually, it's a biblical name. So
yeah, no, of course it is. But I mean, in terms of contemporary, usage, I would think of Roy Orbison before I think of Star Wars. But so I guess that's an age thing. All right, well, good deal. Leah's doing fine, is she?
I'm older. I'm in the old set. I'm in the autumn or the winter of my life. So.
Well, enjoy every minute of it. You've showed them right. I mean, think about how many are no longer here to talk back.
That is true. And again, continue your great show, and I love it, and keeps me up at night.
Terrific. Well, I'm delighted you call me anytime, Bonnie. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
All right. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Mean girl, to set you free, girl. You say he loves you more than me. Well, I will set you free. Go with him. Go with him. one more thing, girl.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I always thought the piano riff was what made that record, and that's Floyd Kramer on piano. Arthur Alexander, of course, well known for all of his studio work in Muscle Shoals and just a terrific artist. Also, for those who are into music history, the only rock era artist to have compositions recorded by the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and Bob Dylan. So not bad. And of course, he wrote that. He also wrote Every Day I Have to Cry, some one of my favorites. It was first a hit for Steve Alamo. Yeah, so who knows? But anyway, it would otherwise be happy birthday to Arthur Alexander. But of course, he's no longer with us, so it isn't. Now, I had some notes on. Oh, yes, because Carol gives me the best show prep to make me sound like I really know what I'm doing. But yeah, he would have turned 83 today, born in 1940 in Sheffield, which is in the Muscle Shoals area. And You Better Move On and all that. It was all recorded at Fame. That's Florence, Alabama Music Enterprises, and right over the drugstore. And so there you have it. So what else do I have? Oh, do you know the Bee Gees also covered Every Day I Have to Cry Some? Painful. He actually was dormant for a while, signed to a new contract in 93, performed with his new band in Nashville, and died 3 days later, heart attack. So rest in peace, Arthur Alexander, who would have been 83 today, and thanks to Floyd Kramer for the wonderfully identifiable piano riff. All right, so what do we have here? Oh, we're going to get to James in Oregon, and James in Southside, a pair of James. But Fran in Austin has her new hearing aid. So, Fran, how is it working out?
Well, it's a mixed bag.
Okay.
As most things are.
Yeah.
When I put them in, I can hear people speaking to me much better and everything, but everything else I try to do sounds like garbage.
Really?
I mean, music sounds like it's in a cup. If I'm listening over my... It sounds like... everything sounds a little tiny. Or, you know, kind of pinched. I don't know how to explain it.
Kind well, of, no, I understand what you're saying. And I think what they were trying to address, albeit not well, given your experience, but one of the early complaints about hearing aids was always, yeah, it amplifies everything. So not only what you want to hear, but everything you otherwise wouldn't want to hear, making for a cacophony of noise. And so it sounds like this was designed to minimize noise, but at the same time, minimized what you're trying to hear.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of... I know that there are all kinds of...
Settings
and
right.
Things and so forth, and I have no idea what I'm doing. So, you know, right now I'm... I was excited, and I went and got them, and then yeah. I tried to listen to something, and I'm like, no.
Well,
in fact, you know, I don't have them in right now, and that's not the...
Right.
You know?
Right. No, this shows promise, though, because if you can tweak it in sufficient ways, you may get exactly what you want.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, because there are, of course, some buttons on the app that are helpfully named button.
Oh, right.
You know,
no.
That's very helpful.
No, two words that stand for go to hell is learning curve. And
yeah, I know it. Oh,
yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah, and, exactly.
You know.
I mean, why not just slap me across the face? Do not say learning curve. I'd rather just be hit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get yeah. that. But ultimately, if you can find somebody to calm you down while you go through this, usually they don't have to do much other than that. You may find out you can tweak it.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to keep that in mind as I, you know, I can't stand this, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't like to be, you know, because I know a lot of people just, oh, I just use my hearing aids when I go out. Well, then your brain's never going to get used to them.
Well, that's right. Right. Well, that's like I only use my contact lenses on dates. Yeah, same type thing. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, you will want to get it to where they are second nature to you, where they're part of your body. But I think that it's going to be a while, especially if you have more choices. And, of course, more choices give you more options, but they also give you more nightmares while you're trying to get it the way you want it.
Right, you know, and then I just went, okay, just give me my Apple earbuds.
Yeah, right.
Those sound good.
You know? Right. Well, it'd be good if they had groups, you know, like almost support groups working together where you could, in fact, get some advice from other people who've been there, done that.
Well, I am on an email group. Hearing Aids for the Blind or something like that.
Okay. Is there anything in it that's worth reading?
So I'm gonna get on there and send a few big long message as soon as the show's over tonight and ask some of my questions. So
let me know what they say.
Yeah, I sure will.
All right. Well, good deal. Good to hear from you, Fran.
All right.
Talk to you soon. Okay. Bye. So 888-876-5593, a pair of James next hour, and you too right here on WGN Radio.
Tired of slipping and a sliding with a long tall salad. Peeking and a hiding, ducking back in the alley. Dance with Annie. I got a brand new lover, name is Short Fat Fanny. One day when I was visiting that Heartbreak Hotel, that's where I met Fanny, and she sure looked swell. I told her that I loved her, I'd never leave. She put her arm around me, gave me fever. She's my tootie booty, I love the child so. She wants me like a hound dog everywhere I go. Whenever I'm around, I'm on my P's and Q's. Might step on my blue suede shoes. Well, at a honky tonk party just the other night, Fanny got jealous and she started a fight. Because I was dancing with Mary Lou, I had to call Jim Dandy to the rescue. Short Fat Fanny, she's my heart's desire. Short Fat Fanny sets my soul on fire. On Blue Monday we were married on Blueberry Hill. Now we so happy and I love her still.
WGN Radio, I'm Robbie James. That's Larry Williams, probably better known for Bonnie Maroney, though Short Fat Fanny was actually a bigger hit. Yeah, number one on the R&B charts in 1957 and number five on the flip charts. And that, of course, was Specialty. See, Art Rupe, who mostly had a gospel label, was fine with rock and roll like that. But, of course, when his Sam Cooke decided to do You Send Me, he's, no ballads. Yeah, well, that, of course, started Keen Records. All right, so Larry would have turned 88 today. Born in 1935 in New Orleans. His family moved to Chicago for a while, actually, but then fairly quickly to the Bay Area of California. And he ultimately, as a teenager, moved back to New Orleans and, of course, palled around with Little Richard, which is how he met Robert Blackwell, Bumps Blackwell, who, of course, brought Williams into Art Rupe's fold at Specialty. Sadly, died January 7th, 1980 in murky circumstances. I'll tell you what. Found dead at his home in L.A. with a gunshot wound, just 44 years old. I don't know what happened. And, of course, did anybody ever really investigate? Yeah, right. I'm still waiting. James in Oregon, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, good evening, Rowan.
What's happening?
Hey, not much. I just went to my dialysis today.
Uh-huh.
So I think this is medical night, what Leah fell. A friend got hearing aids, and I had dialysis.
Yes, and you have been for a while, and you're doing well. This is your new home,
yeah.
and things are good.
It's doing good. But what I wanted to pass on is in the clinic there, they in the chairs you have a little TV and
yeah,
stuff, and you can listen
right,
to it.
Right.
And I've been hearing it talking about a pill. It's called Kendra, I believe it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Actually, what I'm hearing more now, of course, is for Jardiance, but Kerendia. I think it's like Finerenone is the actual generic for that. And that actually was approved, I think, a couple of years ago. And
because I was wondering, because I've been on dialysis for 2 years now, coming up in June, and I'm just wondering why. If it's been out over 2 years, why the doctors weren't telling you about
it? Well, let's talk about what it does. Do you have type 2 diabetes?
Yes.
And is that what led to your kidney failure?
That with high blood pressure, yeah.
Well, right, of course. You're a candidate then, because the deal with finerenone is definitely that it is for CKD with type 2. And so, if that's the case, they did trials in 2021 and saw some good results. I mean, low blood pressure, you'd be fine with that. Yours is high anyway.
Yeah.
You got to watch potassium, because I'll tell you, and you know that can play with your heart. But you do have to watch potassium when you're on that. And
I know you said something about potassium.
That's the big one. I'm less worried about low levels of sodium. Is there anybody who's getting too little salt? But but at the same time, depending on how much adrenal insufficiency you've got, there's hormone issues as well. But Bayer Healthcare is the owner of that. Definitely talk to your doctors about that. I assume it's now been approved for widespread use, but if not, you can probably get it in some type of a trial.
Well, they're saying it's if you're on dialysis, it won't do you any good.
Well, it probably won't then. I mean, I if that's the case.
But I don't know. How won't do you some good, you know, don't do you harm. Just try it.
Yeah, that's going to depend on, and see, this is where I'm not a nephrologist, God knows.
Oh, no.
But
yeah.
This is where a good nephrologist is going to look at the effects of the dialysis versus the effects of the drug to see whether you're exacerbating a side effect that could be technically deadly. So, I would defer to your doctor, but if a doctor is telling you, no, that's not right, well, you want to say, tell me why.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and
there was a doctor came through, but he's not mine. They come through there, and I think they reach into the cash register drawer, you know, but there's about four of them that come through, but I have to get a hold of mine when he comes through.
Right. The most important thing you need is an honest relationship with a doctor who can take a look at it. Because right now they have a number of drugs. AstraZeneca has something that they've been doing in trials, and there's others as well. So this is sort of the race for CKD. And I think I've seen, you know, probably a dozen different, I don't know why I read trials. I guess, you know, it's something to put me to sleep, and it works very well. There's so many out there now. I've been surprised. The AstraZeneca got some approval. Of course, some of them have, some of them haven't. But you've got a whole cocktail of choices, and maybe one of them would be right for you.
Yeah, well, that's the way I go. Today I'm doing this. Tomorrow there's going to be a fix and a cure. So
well, that's right. That's absolutely right. And there have been some things in the last couple of years that have showed promise for being a fix on that level. I don't know that there's anything where they're saying at this point, this is perfect. But I would absolutely, you know, like that AstraZeneca drug. And I can spell it. I've never known how they pronounced it because it's Farxiga. Farxiga, do they pronounce the X like a Z? I don't know. But that's what AstraZeneca decided to call it in their infinite wisdom.
They can charge more for it.
Maybe. And of course, Jardiance, you see those commercials all the time now. So easier to pronounce, that's for sure. But I would want a doctor that I trust to go over what the downfalls are, and particularly the contraindications for people who are already on dialysis.
That'd be interesting to find out. I'll find out. I'll pass along. I was going to ask you. There was a guy I heard on the radio the other day, a singer, Bobby Wilson. He's supposedly Jackie Wilson's son.
Yes, absolutely. And he's doing a lot of concerts.
Yeah. He was talking about some concerts.
Yeah.
Concerts, and they played one of his records, I guess, Higher and Higher.
Right.
Not quite like his dad, but, you know.
Right. Bobby Brooks was his name before he realized he was Jackie Wilson's son, so I think he's Bobby Brooks Wilson now. He didn't find out that Jackie was his biological father until people kept saying to him, you sound a lot like Jackie Wilson. And so it wasn't something he grew up knowing. But, you know, there's a concert tour, Jackie Wilson, The Legacy, and he's been going around for a while with that. And I think he was on, like, the Malt Shop Memories Cruise, you know, those cruises that are designed to, you know, have you cruise with, you know, 20 rock and rollers you didn't know were still breathing. And he's on he's on one of those. I think he's on Malt Shop Memories, actually, that one. So, and... who else is? I'm looking that up to see who else, make sure I'm right. I think this might have been the deal like that Jerry Blabbitt used to do, but Paul Anka, The Temptations, Little Anthony, Jay and the Americans, Letterman, Al Jardine, Darlene Love, Jay Siegel, Peter Asher, The Wanderers, Dennis Stefano from the Buckinghams, The Vogues, The Skyliners, The Contours, The Elegance, The Reflection, Linda Gale Lewis, Bobby Wilson, Lil Fats Jackson, The Winter Dance Party, Sounds of the Street, Everly Set, no Everly Brothers there, I guarantee it, The Unknown Comic, Coda Band, Elvis Tribute, yeah, Elvis is not on board, The Chicklets, God Only Know, and more to come, and that's the Fort Lauderdale to Curacao cruise. It's an ABC cruise. Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao, you know, for those who like the ABCs. And so that's, I'm pretty sure that this was Blavitt's cruise. You know, of course he died. So anyway, that is, that is the deal. You can, so yeah, he's around.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know, if that was a true thing or, you know, sometimes,
Oh, I know. Whether it's a publicity stunt. No, it's really him. And believe me, he was the most surprised to discover that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you do a, what do you call it, a DNA test or something? Or?
Yeah. Well, this was, this about 5 or 6 years ago that that he found out. And I assume that, because he was placed in foster care and grew up in that way and all that. But I assume that it was DNA testing. I'm not sure. But that's the only thing I can imagine. You know, I'll look that up. I'll see what I can find out.
All right. Well, I'll jump off and let other callers come in.
Good deal. Thanks. All right. 888-876-5593. Man of 10,000 links, James, coming up next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there he is, that's Bobby Wilson. And if you'd see him, what's really uncanny is here's a guy who never met his father, never knew really about him, and if you'd see him on stage, the mannerisms are astounding. There's a picture of him I saw, a headshot, a still, and you look at it, and it's Jackie Wilson. And so so here's the deal. I just looked this up to find out how the how he found out. And like I say, he was in foster care in South Carolina, grew up in Columbia. It wasn't pretty. And he though, managed through it all to finish high school and went into the Navy for 10 years, if you're ready for that. Went into college for 2 years, electrical engineering, so he was no dummy. And shortly after he left the Navy, he started to do talent shows and karaoke bars, just, you know, fun stuff. And he was spotted by Peter Hernandez. And Peter said, join our family group. By the way, Peter's son was the guy who became Bruno Mars. Anyway, Bobby accepted the invitation, thinking it's just fun, and was a backup singer. But Peter had coached him into doing impersonations. And, you know, he's doing those shows here and there, and he's in Hawaii, and Paul Revere and the Raiders are there. And Paul Revere sees him on stage and says, do a Jackie Wilson medley. And Bobby refused at first, saying, you know, I want to be a singer. I don't want to be an impersonator. And I really, you know, certainly don't know much about that. Well, anyway, he did. And Paul was just stunned and called the guy who runs LA Legends in Concert, which is all tribute shows. And they made Bobby an offer he couldn't refuse. Now, at this point, he gets interested. Like, what's the deal? Because everybody's telling him, you are Jackie Wilson. You look like him. You act like him. You sound like him. And so he has found his real mother by this point, tries to find out the identity of his father. And she says, I have no idea. She was a party girl, and at this point, she's already an alcoholic. And so he sent her a picture of himself, and his mother come unglued and said, why send me a photo of him, Jackie Wilson? And he said, that's not Jackie Wilson, that's me. And she said, don't ever send me his pictures again. So she didn't believe it. And so after he persistently continued to call, she said, yeah, I knew him. I was 14 years old, but I don't know if he's your father. Well, then Bobby, through these tribute shows, meets Billy Davis. And at that point, Billy Davis is very curious because he says, man, the look, the voice, the gestures, it's just uncanny. And he's still doing these shows, and he was in Atlantic City with the Four Tops, and Levi Stubbs is saying, you know, and by the way, Levi Stubbs was Jackie Wilson's cousin, said, you are family. And so Levi asked Billy Davis to you know, check this out. And Billy Davis turned out that he knew Bobby's mother, the party girl, and he said, yeah, I think there's merit here. So Bobby was introduced to members of Jackie Wilson's family, and they did blood tests, and they proved no doubt Bobby was indeed Jackie Wilson's son. And at that point, he changed his name from Bobby Brooks Wilson to from Bobby Brooks to Bobby Brooks Wilson. And he continued to do the Legends tours because it was money, you know, regular money impersonating Nat King Cole and Johnny Mathis or Little Richard or Sam Cooke or Stevie Wonder. But now he was spent a lot of time impersonating his father. And it was interesting because he didn't have to work hard to do it. It was just came absolutely natural. And so it is that ever since then, he's been trying to make it in his own right. And that's been now about more than a decade. And sadly, near as I can tell, everything I see about him is it's Jackie's son, and, you know, he's a tribute artist. So I haven't seen much in terms of him doing stuff strictly on his own. But, you know, if you see some of these videos of him in action, it's really easy to understand why it would be a hard thing to break, because those who remember Jackie Wilson say, my God, he's back. All right, so there you go. Happy to tell you all about it. We'll get to James on the South Side. There's plenty of room for you, but right now we'll get to WGN Radio News on WGN Radio.
Get out of that bed, wash your face and hands. Well, you get in that kitchen, make some noise with the pots and pans. Well, you wear old dresses, the sun comes shining through. Well, you wear old dresses, the sun comes shining through. I can't believe my eyes, all the mess belongs to you.
I'm Raleigh James. Big Joe Turner, of course, 1954, number one for 3 weeks on Atlantic. Shake, rattle, and roll. And I played it. Jesse Stone wrote it, by the way. John in Waukegan called and says he's got a request for Wash Your Face and Hands. I said, I hope he means Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Well, we'll find out. So, John, is that it?
John.
Now, I guess John's left us too. Hopefully that was it. Because, the line, of course, wash your face and hands is certainly in Shake, Rattle, and Roll. Not in the Bill Haley version, but in the original Big Joe Turner, it absolutely is. All right, so now, with all that in mind, maybe I shouldn't play your request before I talk to you, because you're less likely to hang on there, unless he was there and I just didn't know it. We'll find out. John will maybe check that out. But I think he's gone. Yes, gone and gone. All right, so with that in mind, James on the South Side, man of 10,832 links. How's it going, James?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I was a little worried because when I said I better get to the one place in my house where it might not, the line might not cut like it.
Yes.
Done at times, and I was a little worried about that. I know there's a chance of a thunderstorm tonight, tomorrow, but especially tomorrow, and then I better just simply sit up here, and basically that way it'll most likely not cut out.
Yeah, it's like trying to tune in those distant radio stations and turning the radio this way or that way or hanging over the railing and all that. I've almost gone to my death a few times with that.
Oh, yeah, I know about TV antennas, radio. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah. And, it's okay. At times you kind of figure, I know this is worth it, but anyway, I got to admit and I kind of got this, kind of had to take it easy at least a day last. I sprained my foot.
Oh, no. No, how did you strain? What did you do that would sprain a foot?
I think when I either stepped off or fell, something like that, because I've been doing around the house, that sort of thing as well.
Gosh. Well, sorry to hear about that. Well, as usual, Your links are terrific as always, and of course the first one I had to run to when I saw the headline was "Guest Permanently Banned from Disney." I'm thinking, oh, this is gonna be good. Permanently banned from Disney. Apparently, he caused a scene during a daytime parade.
I'm thinking, does this guy actually get it, or is he, or does he think that he's he's too sexy for his shirt or something?
Well, I guess this was, by the way, Disney Shanghai, where no smoking is allowed in the park. Hell, maybe no smoking is allowed in any of their parks. But anyway, this guest was confronted, and he started to scream and demanded an apology in the middle of the park. The cast member apologized, and the guest continued to smoke. Now, this prompted cast members to call the local police in Shanghai. You know, if I'm going to see the local police, I probably don't want them in Shanghai. They politely confronted the guest, but he would not go down easily. Actually, he went down too easily. He collapsed to the ground and wouldn't move. And meanwhile, so now he's on the floor, flopping around like a fish. And and the entire performance is canceled. And so the Disney Resort says, "We do not tolerate any bullying of cast members or other behaviors." Yes, I guess if you represent yourself as a salmon, it's a problem. So they apparently had to change the parade route. And in the meantime, they banned him from ever entering the park again. His behavior will be further investigated by police. I can't imagine what he'd be investigated for other than bad taste, but there you have it. But it wasn't quite as good as I had hoped, but still, always a good time if Disney has banned you.
That, of course, let's see. There was the one where where the person was telling the Walmart, that basically, "You're not going to get me. You're not going to get me."
Oh, yeah. we'll get to that. Yes, and they got her, of course, but with two bottles of booze under her skirt. But Walt Disney World, Resort, apparently we have another guest behaving badly in the most magical place on Earth. There's a lot of water there. After all, it is Orlando, and so a lot of these themes have water in them. Well, one guy decided he'd bathe in it.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to basically, that's what I thought about, the too sexy for his shirt sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like thinking, sorry, I don't think you're Marky Mark.
Right, right. And of course, they don't even let you put your hands in the water, and probably rightfully so, because unbeknownst to some people, this is not bathable water. You know, but they've got posted signs, you know, keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside at all times. Yeah, well, part of it is God knows what the water is like, but one guy decided he'd find out.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there's a Disney park that was actually closed, in part because I think what happened was a child had gotten in the water, and he ended a brain-eating amoeba you can kind of imagine what happened next. Yeah, there was not a whole lot they could do for the kid.
Well, right, and then you've got other guests, like the Disney guest who strips off his underwear and leaves them in the park, and you know, on and on. It's hilarious to say the least. But yeah, that brain-eating amoeba is real. And the reason it happens in water is that it won't happen to you unless it actually comes up your nose. So water is usually the way it will. It's still very rare, but it you know, hey, the tabloids thrive on these stories, so I know them all.
Yeah, and I would figure, I'll stay on terrestrial.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and unfortunately, people just can't help themselves. Okay, then, there was at least a couple of good news where a kid who had been missing for a while and they found him 8 years old. That was good. But then, of course, there were too many where, unfortunately, the other result happened.
Yeah.
And then you say, what is it with, you got one to basically figure, oh, and for some reason, oh, if I can't have her, nobody can. I'm like thinking, you don't, own anybody. You might romantically bow like you belong to me, but no, it's just simply sad.
Yeah, so it's just a wonderful group as always, and always a pleasure to see. There's no shortage of people behaving badly.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter. I mean, around the world, it's just like people. And let's see now. There was an interesting one that didn't get through. It's one of 11, maybe a dozen or so ones. And because for some reason it's happening, I don't know, around here for about the last day or so, not too many of them have gotten to you.
Yeah.
Okay, it's about at least 20 or close to 20 of them. Because I looked back and said, whoa, these ones. But there's one where this guy, he got arrested shortly before Prince Charles's coronation. His group actually is anti-monarch. They want a republic, want to go to the U.S. model, sort of.
Yeah, well, you know, the tabloids will fight that. They'll run out of material. And, of course, we did have the coronation Saturday, and we discovered that Prince Harry not only did not cause a disturbance, he basically wasn't much in evidence other than being with his cousins, which was Eugenie and Beatrice.
Yeah, they figured they put him there. They said, hey, if we put him with at least the ones he's most friendly with. And then, of course, to make sure he couldn't really be hardly seen, or at least couldn't see over, they made certain that somebody with a nice tall hat was basically blocking his view.
And there you have it. All right. Well, as always, tons of good information, and fun to read these stories that make nothing of significance happen at all, when we have, which we won't go over, all the just horrendous stuff we're hearing in the news. And
And like there was like some, like if you come across something that, okay, I had to like buy some of these. I came across because I bypassed through other more
right.
Kind of like prickly ones.
Now
and that's how I that's how I basically got to some of them.
Yeah, well, liked the SEC awarding $279 million to a whistleblower, you know, and you say...
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, you say to yourself, damn, I wish I had that information, and this more than doubled.
Think about it. That would give you something to basically really sleep good on.
Yeah, and I'm very pleased that they didn't mention the guy's name or he'd be dead before the print dried.
Oh, yeah, they basically said, he would basically be, they might have connections with La Cosa Nostra, and they should say.
Yeah. Well, always wonderful to hear from you, James. Thank you.
Okay, you
all right.
Take care.
You too. All right. So, like I say, the whistleblower was not named, and it's a good thing. And he gave information that led to a lot of SEC actions, and they gave him $279 million. Now, think about that. What do you know that could earn you money? Yeah, I don't think they'd give me $2.79 for anything I knew, truth be known. But whistleblower tips have contributed to enforcement actions. Apparently, more than $4 billion has been paid out. Either that or more than $4 billion has been recovered. I don't know, but either way, there are some very rich people. And so the current case, apparently this individual gave multiple interviews, provided written submissions, which proved critical to the probe. And it's interesting that he didn't prompt the opening of the investigation, but his information allowed the closing of the investigation. And so that's the deal. You're eligible for this award if you voluntarily provide the SEC with original, timely, and credible information that leads to successful enforcement actions. So, yeah, what's your boss doing? Yeah, because I have absolutely no knowledge of anything. What do you get? You get 10 to 30% of the monetary sanctions, depending on what they are. So pretty good way to make money. Shall we talk about Westminster? We were thinking about that last night. All right. I'm not that happy with the winner. What do you think? I'm also not happy to find out the French bulldog that cannot create their own offspring on their own without surgical intervention is now the number one most popular dog in America. What is wrong here? 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Short time. It's hard to imagine where I'd be without you. Where I was broken, your heart was my healer. Your love will see me through. Now I know what I missed till I found you. Like discovering been blind all your life. When I grow weary, your heart is my pillow. Your love will see me through. There's days when I've wondered why I don't lay down and die, feeling I can't get much lower. The storm passes over. You and I struggled hard in this short time, but it's somehow so easy when I'm struggling for you. Winning or losing, I know we'll survive it. Our love will
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Tommy Rowe, who turned 81 yesterday, born in 1942 in Atlanta. And that came out in about 77 on Monument. And I thought it was just a great little record. Bill Justice did the strings on it, too. So happy birthday to Tommy Rowe, who is still with us. All right, so we have another 2 hours of this, and I hope you're going to join me right here on WGN Radio.
Put on my continental suit. Put on my continental hat. Put on my continental shoes. Yeah, yeah.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's a Danny and the Juniors. Yeah, the At the Hop guys. That was pretty much when they realized their career was over. And that was on Swan. Last thing they had on Swan. It charted for 1 week. And then they actually had a limbo record put out on Gaiden that didn't chart for much more. But nonetheless, that was 62. But I played that because Danny Rapp would have been his birthday. And that's such an interesting story, and I've wondered about this for so long and have absolutely no information whatsoever. But the deal is that Danny would have been 82 yesterday, born in Philadelphia in 1941, and found dead in 1983, April 3rd, in Quartzsite. So that's in Arizona. Let's back up here a moment and say that they were, you know, high school and actually junior high school kids. Danny Rapp was in junior high at Shaw Junior when he was a singing lead. So that was pretty heady stuff. And that was 1955. And, of course, they came up with Do the Bop. And John Madera got involved with that, and they took it to Dick Clark, who, of course, by then had taken over Bandstand from Bob Horn. And he said, well, change the title to At the Hop, and I'll play it. Of course, I'll take half the writer's royalties, too, but okay, and they did. And At the Hop became a local hit, and of course, because it was on American Bandstand, it became a national hit and sold millions and billions of copies. And you probably are well aware of it. It's one of those records that's absolutely generic when it comes to early rock and roll. Everybody knows about At the Hop. And Rock and Roll is Here to Stay, the follow-up, and that pretty much it. Now, Dave White and John Madera, who wrote it, wrote a number of other things, probably most well-known You Don't Own Me for Leslie Gore, but also 1-2-3 for Len Barry after he left the Dobells and many other things. But meanwhile, Danny and the Juniors continue. They're not going to have any more hits. Beatlemania pretty much killed them. In fact, for a while, they disbanded entirely. Danny had a wife and kids. He was an assistant manager in a toy factory and drove a cab, and the other guys were working jobs. And then here comes 69 and the Vietnam War protests and the drug culture and all that. But at the same time, what started to happen in 69 was oldie shows were starting. Gus Gossard in New York was putting them on, and others as well. And all of a sudden, 50s groups were getting back together because they had a stage again. And so it was that Danny and the Juniors reformed, and they hired Billy Carlucci, who was another Philadelphia well-known local performer. And sure enough, in the 70s, it was working for them. They weren't having hit records, obviously, but they were on some pretty darn good bills, like Benny King and the Five Satins and the Ronettes and on and on and on. In fact, you even had in the early 70s, like Don Imus emceeing them. You know, everybody was getting in the act. And so Danny Rapp had just a fine time. In fact, got involved into Let the Good Times Roll, a movie with Chuck Berry and Little Richard and Fats Domino, with Danny and the Juniors in the middle of that. And then, of course, American Graffiti comes out. Lots of oldies on that. And, of course, not so great for Danny and the Juniors because Danny didn't make it to the soundtrack, but At the Hop did anyway, performed by Flash Cadillac as far as that goes. But nonetheless, it was a way to cash in on rock and roll nostalgia, and he was doing it. And he was doing this into the 80s. In fact, some people say it was vaudeville, you know, the oldies version of vaudeville or the circus or whatever. And sure enough, it was a lot of acts packaged into some very unusual venues. And then there were all sorts of stories, and some of these venues were just terrible, including, of course, tons of locations that would be off the beaten path. And one of them was the Tapatio Resort, which was in Phoenix. And there was Danny, and he's hadn't even turned 40 yet. And he's living on the road. He's tired of being on the road all the time. He's being at more obscure venues on top of more obscure venues. He's making decent money. He's never saved any of it. So he pretty much is forced to tour and take whatever it is. So when Tapatio opened, which was a brand new resort, and they were going to book him for a month, all right, he thought, this is just great. In fact, this place was so new they hadn't even finished off all the rooms. So here's Daddy and here's the juniors, whoever they were at that time. And here they are at the Point of View restaurant in the Tapatio Resort at North 7th Street in Northern Phoenix. And the ads called them lighthearted entertainment. Two shows a night, excluding Sundays. And they gave him a grand a week of free room and half-price food and drinks, which wasn't too bad in 1983. And, on stage, he was still the pro. But now, off stage, things are going downhill for Danny. And he's drinking, to say the least. And he's fighting with hotel guests. That was one of the things. And on it goes. And so now you had the girl singer with the stage act saying, Danny's threatening me. I'm afraid of him. And so the resort, management at the resort, had a meeting with Danny, and they pretty much were reading him the riot act. And all they wanted out of it was to make sure they had a quiet ending of an engagement that turned out to be not so quiet after a while. And they thought the drinking incidents were just, one-offs, because he was completely sober normally and completely sober when he showed up in the office. And nonetheless, he seemed pretty distracted, as if he was out of it, and kept saying, I'm not responsible. And of course, they wondered if he wasn't responsible for his own behavior, who was? And so meanwhile, he changed the subject and he said, I need a pay advance so I can get my truck fixed. And they give it to him. And so here it is. It's now April Fool's Day. And he's got the cash advance and he leaves town. Now he leaves Phoenix and he gets to Quartzsite. Now let's talk about Quartzsite a moment. Quartzsite is on I-10 in the middle of nowhere. It's La Paz County. It's kind of fairly close to the California border. But what put Quartzsite on the map for locals was a tongue-in-cheek deal that to this day exists, and not as good as when the original owner had it, but still a lot of fun, because they have the Quartzsite Yacht Club. Now, of course, there's no water. In fact, their slogan was Long Time No Sea, and they spelt it S-E-A. What put the Quartzsite Yacht Club on the map was they handed out membership cards, which they, sold for like $5 or whatever at the time. And I had one. You had your Quartzsite, Yacht Club membership card. And to me, it was like, being a member of the Nightcaps, the Herb Jepko show or something. Who cares? But some enterprising soul discovered that these cards gave them reciprocity for the most expensive yacht clubs in America. Like Bar Harbor, suddenly, Newport, Rhode Island, suddenly all these places where the fees were just prohibitive, they're getting in there for free because they have reciprocity with the Quartzsite Yacht Club. Now, if you go to the Quartzsite Yacht Club, what you discover is it's trailers. Not just any trailers, trailers with a nautical theme. Each one of inside is decorated to look like you're on the Minnow, actually. You're on some boat. Yeah, a canoe. But regardless, it's there. Has a well-known bar. They still sell hats. In fact, one time we were driving through, I said to John, buy a hat. And he did. We still got it, the Quartzsite Yacht Club hat. And here comes Danny Rapp pulling into and checking into the Quartzsite Yacht Club. In other words, one of the trailers. And because you could stay for the night. It was sort of a motel. Still is. And so he's staying there for reasons unbeknown to anybody, because there is no reason, all right? And he's there with his belongings and his new 25 caliber automatic weapon. And he goes to the Jigsaw. That was one of the two bars. You could either go to the Yacht Club bar or the Jigsaw. And so he's drinking himself to death on the at the Jigsaw. And then that's now Sunday, April 3rd. Sunday. On the afternoon of April 4th, a maid at the yacht club couldn't get in his room and finally found a way to open the door and discovered he'd killed himself, dead of a gunshot wound to the right side of his head. Well, the cops were pretty sure it was Danny Rapp. They couldn't make a positive identification because his face was blown off. They determined it was self-inflicted. Bottles of booze and some money were found in the room. No drugs, no suicide note. There were notes on several calendars, and in fact, the contents of which have never been revealed. There was an article in a local paper in Parker. 57 at the Hop rock star is apparent suicide victim. And they referred to all his hits and stuff like this. And it was interesting that friends said it never dawned on me he would kill himself. We knew he had some problems, but he wasn't acting like a mature adult. But this and the folks at the club who had talked to him just before he left. Felt pretty bad about this also, saying we had no idea. We knew he was having trouble, and we just wanted to talk to him to see if we could get him to straighten up. And his booking agent had absolutely nothing to add to it. His marriage by now was well over. It wasn't that. Obviously, he was despondent. But why on earth did he go to the Quartzsite Yacht Club, number one? Number two, what was he despondent over in particular? Was this just one show too many? And maybe. So they shipped the body back home to Philly. And, this is 83, and maybe 35 people showed up to the funeral. And he was buried at St. Mary's in Belmar, New Jersey. And Joe Terry, who was his former bandmate, Joe Terry was someone who used to call my show. And this group did not end well. In fact, Danny was an alcoholic. He had some problems. He had trouble getting a grip. Well, maybe so, but what is the deal? And to this day, I have absolutely no idea and clearly no clue why a guy from Philadelphia and Southern Jersey would pick the Quartzsite Motel. Well, he did. So, have no idea. 888-876-5593. Particularly if you've got any information to add to this story, because I have wondered to this day. Now, as I say, he would have been 82 yesterday. And, a month before he turned 42, that was the end of Danny Rapp. And when they said his face was blown off, I assume that they had their reasons for saying that it was self-inflicted, and it probably was. But assuming that it was, why? And why there? Is it just because the hotel management told him to behave like an adult? And I guess when you start trying to parse a suicide, sometimes it is the straw on the camel's back. So the last incident is just one too many. But even if we assume that that is the cause, that he's called on the carpet at yet another gig that he doesn't want to be at anyway, that he's really kind of had it, he's sick of being on the road. Why the Quartzsite Motel? Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'd want to die in a better venue. I know a few times when I've been sick over the years, when I passed out in public and not from drinking. But I remember one time I was walking through, when it still existed, a discount department store in called Mervyn's in California. It was also at Colorado locations. And I remember that I knew I was blacking out. And you know how they say the last thoughts are of whatever, you see your life before your eyes or whatever. No. My last thoughts are is, dear God, don't let me die at Mervyn's. So, yeah. And the same thing had happened years earlier when I choked on a piece of chicken at a Roy Rogers. Same exact thing. There I am about to meet the floor and I'm thinking, don't let me die at Roy Rogers. So when time finally comes, God knows what I'll be saying. All right, but whatever you're saying, say it on the radio. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Don't you know I'll follow you to the ends of the earth and back again. Your wish is my command. I pledge my love to you. Heaven knows that I'll be true to you, and I'll never say goodbye. I'll never make you cry. I pledge my love to you. If you'll only let me kiss you, you know I wish you forever would be mine. Every time I kiss your lips, your ruby red lips, I always crave more. It's you that I adore. I pledge my love to you.
contigo, sabes que te sigo por el cielo, te quiero corazón. I want you for my own. I've pledged my love to you. Que no sabes que te quiero, yo te espero, you're always on my mind. Yo te cuidaré y tú yo seré. I want you with me all the time. Every time I kiss your lips, the ruby red lips, I always
WGN Radio. I'm Rowley James. That's Sonny Curtis. You don't hear that often. Snuff Garrett produced it in 1964 on Liberty, and of course it was not a hit. But Sonny Curtis, of course, very well known. You know, sadly, probably most well known for the Mary Tyler Moore theme now, or for his collaborations with Buddy Holly. But did so much more. Wrote Walk Right Back. Yeah, the Everly Brothers, or I Fought the Law, the Bobby Fuller Four, and so much more. He was just a terrific act all the way around, and writer, obviously. But Love Is All Around probably made him more money than any of that, so I guess that's good. He also wrote The Straight Life, Bobby Goldsboro's hit, and much more, and in the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame. So finally inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the Crickets. And what was interesting, I say finally, because Buddy Holly had been inducted in 86, and I think it wasn't until 2012 that they said, oh, yeah, well, we'll take the rest of the Crickets, too. So anyway, Sonny Curtis is still with us, born in 1937 in Meadow, Texas. Yeah, childhood friend of Buddy Holly. And 86 this week. So happy birthday to Sonny. And thanks for I Pledge My Love to You. All right, so 888-876-5593 takes us to Karen in Chicago. So Karen's back. What's up, Karen?
Hi. You know, I was listening to Fran talking about her hearing aids, and I have hearing aids, too. I just started having to use them in about 2016, and I have a lot of issues with them. The only thing I can adjust on mine is the volume. If I want to adjust anything else, I have to take them to my audiologist, and she hooks them up to a computer, and you go through all of that. Well, when she was talking about music, what I did, and I do it now even when I listen to your show, I use the Crane Pro earbuds. See, Crane Pro earbuds?
Oh, they are nice. They are really nice.
They're cool. You get music, and I hook them up to a Crane radio as well. It's a Solar Observer. It's a pretty old one. I love it.
Yeah.
That I can hear the music nice and clear. I hook those earbuds up to my talking book, to my iPad, to anything that I'm going to listen to. And sometimes I'm okay with the hearing aids if I'm close enough to it or I get in the right position, get the right volume. But a lot of times it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I know if I get in a crowd, I can't hardly hear. Whoever is talking to me has to be on my right side because the right ear is better than the left. And if I'm in a crowd, that's a hassle. If I get in an area that echoes, mm-hmm. that it can't hear anything or you can't understand it.
Yeah.
And I find them, I'm used to it now fairly, but there are times that I just get so totally disgusted because I can't hear it the way I did before, or sometimes you can't understand it. You know, like even in records, I'm listening to a song that I like, and I can't understand the lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get you. And, that's sadly, they say that growing old beats the alternative, but not every day it doesn't.
And, you know, another thing, too, is the what can you afford? The hearing aids that you can afford probably aren't the best you can get.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that may make you feel a little better. You're right about that. And there are some really expensive high-tech hearing aids. But the people I know who have them still have problems.
You know, well, boy, I just wanted to let Fran know there's somebody out there doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that it is a ton of people. And, yeah, you can look at these hearing aids that are literally thousands of dollars, but, you know, you still have a lot of people saying, yeah, but, you know, I mean, I wish that it was an exact deal at this point where you could just say, well, if I could just afford them, this will be perfect. There ain't no perfect in this at all.
You know, another thing that's an issue for a blind person is some of them are so small that, and you have to change those batteries. I wanted to get the ones you can charge. I can't afford them. My insurance company won't help me enough to afford them. So there you have the issue where you have to change the batteries. And those batteries are little bitty things, and they're a pain in the rear end.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And John said, I have just blown the news. So I will talk to you again soon.
Oh,
thanks,
I'm sorry.
Karen. No, it's my fault, not yours. You. Thanks. Yeah, and once again, I've done it. I don't know how to tell time, but I know how to listen, and we're going to hear about what's going on right now on WGN Radio.
Hey, some people are made of plastic.
James, oh yeah, the Dramatics, don't you know, 1971, and that was a big record as far as that goes. Everybody thinks of In the Rain, which was a number one R&B record, but What You See Is What You Get. It was certainly top five R&B and top 10 pop, and a fine, fine record. It was on Volt in 1971, and originally they were on Golden World, which is a label owned by Eddie Wingate in Detroit, and they were a Detroit group formed in 64. And their first release, Bingo, on Wingate, which was a division of Golden World, said The Dynamics. So you might say, oh, they changed their name to The Dramatics. No, they always were The Dramatics. Eddie Wingate just screwed it up. And so it was that shortly thereafter, Don Davis and Tony Hester, a couple of Detroit producers you might be aware of, took their career to Memphis to put them on Stax. And that's, if you're wondering, how did the Dramatics ever get to Stax? Well, it was because of Don Davis. And What You See Is What You Get came out, like I say, number 3 on the R&B charts and 9 on the pop charts. And then In the Rain a year later got to number 1 on the R&B charts and top 5 on the pop charts. And it was great for them. They actually recorded 20 albums between 1972 and 2002. And in 74, they recorded the album along with the Dells, which is a lot of fun. But most of their stuff in the 70s was on Volt or ABC. And then the 80s, they were on MCA and Capitol and Fantasy. And of course, Ron Banks was a founding member, to say the least, and he would have turned 72 years old today. Born in 1951 in Redford, so he was just 20 years old when they started hitting big. Yeah, heady times for him. Sadly died March 4th, 2010 in Detroit, had a heart attack, just 58 years old. So, yeah, rest in peace, Ron. He would have turned 72 today. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And John came in and said, what do you mean you don't know about Danny Rapp? I'm saying, you got some intel? He said he did not kill himself. It was the mob. I said, okay. Yeah. And why the mob would have picked the Quartzsite Yacht Club, I have no idea. But John got to that in a convoluted way, saying, well, come on, the guy's from South Philly. And when Jerry Blavitt was in high school, he was the road manager. And, you know, he introduced him to all sorts of people. And so, oh, God. And so, anyway, that's John's theory, that it was, in fact, the mob. I have no idea. No one can explain why Danny Rapp either chose to end his life or his life was ended at the Quartzsite Yacht Club. And you can still rent a room. It'll be a trailer in some nautical theme. Yes, for probably about $30. 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. I love dogs. Big dogs, especially. That's my weakness. Huge, huge dogs. And so when the French Bulldog wins Best of Show, I'm like, harumph. But more than that, you know, other than my personal pick aside in terms of breed, the French Bulldog is a crying shame, because this is such a creation that the French Bulldog cannot even birth by itself. That's right. It has to be completely done by what do you say?
French Bulldog didn't win the show.
I thought the French Bulldog. Oh no, it didn't. Was that last year? French Bulldog.
It's the best breed.
Oh, you're right. The number one. You're right. French Bulldog did not win the show. The French Bulldog, the AKC announced, was the number one breed in America as far as popularity. That's what it was. No, the show was won by a hound that you can't pronounce it. A Griffon. So, yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. It was not the French Bulldog, but I was outraged when I was looking at that list saying it was the most popular dog in America. I stand corrected. But even that, yeah, a creation. So now the Westminster Club has a nondescript hound, as far as I'm concerned. And I realize beauty is subjective, obviously, and a dog's attitude goes far. But I looked at this winner and just thought to myself, no. Now, of course, I would never make a good judge as far as that goes. There was an interesting interview with one of the judges who said, of course, you're looking for dogs that are the best of their breed. For example, any poodle that flies around the ring like a workhorse is not a poodle. Some dogs are bred to hunt lions, like the Rhodesian Ridgeback, and others are bred to be affectionate puffballs, like the Pekingese. So it's how close are they to their type. You know, if it's an Afghan hound, it shouldn't be looking at you. It should be looking through you, rather aloof, thinking, could you move aside? Right, yeah. So regardless, but I was aghast at the French Bulldog being the number one most popular breed in America, and aghast at this Griffin hound, so to speak, being the winner. But curious if you saw it, who you would pick as far as that goes. I was looking at the best of breeds on the list, and it came to my attention that only one of them was really a giant dog, the giant Schnauzer. Everything else was a more petite dog. And, you know, obviously this means utterly nothing, but for people in the dog world, of course, it's over 140 years now they've been doing this, and they do it in New York. And it's been interesting to see what wins and what doesn't. So yeah, the hound, I looked at that and thought, no. And then got the list and said, come on, you got to be kidding me with the French Bulldog. And also it was sad, because I think any dog that can't breed naturally is probably one that we don't really want to further that line. So the 147th Westminster Kennel Club, and if you saw it, curious what caught your fancy. And yeah, I've just seen some of the clips, so I didn't get to see you know, all of my big loves, which I love taking a look at. And I love the individual races when you see like the best of a particular breed, which is fun. And I will check all that out. But any opinions? Well, I want them. But yeah, a hound you can't pronounce is the winner. So 888-876-5593. It's 8888-Raleigh on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I promised I would play some Manhattans last night. So, yeah, call somebody, please. The flip side of Till You Come Back to Me, 1969 on Carnival Blue. Love it, wrote it. And it was just a fine record all the way around. 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. So, yeah, been checking out the Griffin and Johnson. They don't call it the Griffin. Well, they do in Denmark, or the Petite. In America, they call it the PBGV. I don't know about you, but say that five times fast. No, absolutely not. It's the Griffin. Well, in England, it's the Ruffy, but they're fairly rare here comparatively, and you know. And I fully understand that when you're doing the dog show, that the dogs that are going to win are going to most represent their breed, the breed standard, be the absolute best of that. But nonetheless, I look at some of these winners and say, just no, all the way around. But back to what I was saying about the French Bulldog now being the number one dog, the AKC, number one dog owned in America. And it just breaks my heart because, again, of the way this dog is bred. And, you know, more and more of these dogs, most of which have tremendous health problems. And it didn't appear, actually, until relatively recently, like 1850s or so. And they were breeding a toy bulldog and a local Parisian brand, a Ratter. And that's the way it started. And I guess in the 19th century in England, they were taking bulldogs that they were breeding for purposes other than blood sports and starting to breed miniatures. And as far as that goes, some of them very much miniatures. And so you got a number of people coming up with, if you will, designer dogs, the toy bulldogs and stuff like that. And because so much of it was taking place in France, you get the French bulldog. But again, what you get is a dog that for a while was not that widely bred. It was considered something for high society because they were expensive. They were like $3,000 a piece back in the day when $3,000 would buy you a home, you know, the Rockefellers or the Morgans or stuff like that. And it was popular among those families, but it wasn't until, you know, the last 20 years that we started to see a real rise in popularity. For instance, in 2003, I think it was like 54th, and then, you know, it had become like 10th a few years later, and then 9th, and now the most popular breed in America. And the standard is it can't weigh than more than 28 pounds. And, you know, again, because of the selective breeding, this is just a tremendously besieged dog with health problems. And it's got a skull malformation, which can lead to obstructive breathing. And that's why sometimes you see the French Bulldogs panting and sticking out their tongue and all that. And owners say, isn't this cute? Well, it's a side effect of difficult breathing, you know, like the snoring and all of that, narrow nostril openings and all that kind of thing. And it can kill them, actually, as far as that is. And so you've got a number of things like this that are inherent in the breed. And to me, the absolute worst of which is, again, that they can't breed naturally, they, you know, not without dying anyway. But as far as 72% have at least one major recorded health issue. And, you know, some of them are, you know, painful to the dog, but not necessarily life-threatening, like ear infections or diarrhea or conjunctivitis. But some of them are, you know, absolutely threatening. And so you've got airlines won't fly them for the most part because of their breathing, because too many of them died in the air. And I can understand that. But the idea that you're, you know, sometimes going to have to artificially inseminate and almost always going to have to use cesarean section to give birth. Why? The most popular breed in America. Just why? So I don't. Maybe you've got another opinion, but to me, it seems unduly harsh. And of course, if you're number one breed, you're selling a lot of these. So now, a dog that really came into being not all that long ago is overbred on top of all the other problems. And I don't get it. All right. Well, enough of that. I'll get off the soapbox, give you plenty of room to stand on it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Isn't that the end of the show?
Well, no, I don't think it is. Oh, is it the end of the show?
Yeah.
Oh, we're done? We've had 3 hours?
Yeah.
This is it? Oh, well, and Adam hasn't said anything, so maybe I take it to the top of the hour. We didn't talk about that, I don't think. Oh. So I don't know. I guess.
You got a break.
I do have a break. Adam says I have a break, and probably since now I know when the break is, I'll just say it's 3 hours went by, huh? All right. Well, thanks to Adam for keeping us on the air, and John for screening your calls. And tomorrow night we will be back in the other studio, 21 hours from right now, and we'll do it again. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.